Thankful for the prayer this morning. And if you have your Bible and want to turn with me this morning, I want to deviate from the messages that we've been speaking on over the past several weeks from Ecclesiastes. And in the spirit of Mother's Day, I want us to consider who might be the most well-known mother of all, and that's Mary, the mother of Jesus. I think that there are some wonderful truths to be gleaned as we just do a brief character study this morning on Mary, the mother of Jesus, and hopefully it'll be of encouragement to us, and I pray that you would ask that you would pray for me, that the Lord would bless our time together to be honoring unto him. And what we'll do, we'll look at it several places in the Gospels that speaks about Mary, and look at her as an example. And as I think about this day, you know, Mother's Day may bring up many different emotions for people due to varied life circumstances. And some folks may look at today with great joy, and then there may be some that look at the mother that they had, and they're grateful for it. And there may be other emotions that are involved in their difficulties and trials and tribulations, and such as it is in the world that we live in today. But as we look at God's Word, I want us to see some wonderful examples that are not only examples for mothers, but I think examples for all of us as we look at the life of Mary. Now, she's a wonderful example for us to follow. She is probably one of the most often misunderstood individuals that's in the Bible as well, because there are a great number of folks that I think go to one extreme or the other. They attribute characteristics to her that the Bible never attributes to her. And then there are those that just kind of put her in the back row, if you will, concerning examples in God's Word. Some people believe that Mary was sinless. The Bible doesn't teach that. Some people believe, well-meaning people believe, that in what's called the Immaculate Conception, that she was conceived in a miraculous way, similar to Jesus, and that can't be found in Scripture either. There are folks that think that Mary can intercede on their behalf to God, and they can make better inroads into Jesus through Mary. The Bible doesn't teach that as well. But what the Bible teaches us about Mary is that she was a humble, faithful servant of God. And that's something that I think it's wonderful for us to ponder, wonderful for us to highlight. She was exceedingly blessed. She was blessed as a virgin, and she gave birth to the Son of God. That's significant, just to put it lightly. But what I want us to see this morning is that she was a faithful servant of God in all seasons of life. And what a blessing she enjoyed. She was blessed to bear the promised Messiah that was going to come into this world. And I want us to just look at some lessons. I want us to look at her character this morning. And again, not only for mothers, but for all of us, I think there's some wonderful truths as we look at the life of Mary. First of all, I want you to go to Luke chapter 1. And my message this morning is going to be abbreviated just in honor of Mother's Day. And then we have some church business that we want to tend to. But I want us to look at several things here concerning Mary. You can turn to Luke chapter 1, probably the most familiar area of Gospels that we read about Mary. And I want us to first of all see that Mary was a blessed recipient of the grace of God. Notice what it says. Starting in verse 26, it says this: "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." I want us to understand that Mary was a recipient of the grace of God. We consider that she was the one that was the virgin that was to bear the Messiah, and we see that she was the one that was prophesied of in the Old Testament time, that a virgin was going to conceive. I want you to see that it was all of the grace of God. And Mary, she wasn't chosen because she was greater than everyone else. Some people have that idea that she was somehow super spiritual, or even came about because of supernatural means. No, she was chosen for this task by the sovereign grace of God. And what an incredible moment this was in human history, what she was chosen to do. Now, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we've talked about that intertestamental period. There had been some 400 years without a prophet speaking in Israel. It seemed like that God was silent during those times. But now we have in Luke chapter 1 the first words that would come in the New Testament period, and it was this, that Mary, this virgin's name was Mary, and she was blessed of all women. Now I want you to understand, the reason that we're blessed this morning is because of the grace of God. The reason we're going to go to heaven is because of God's grace. The Bible teaches us that we were chosen in Him from before the foundation of the world. I think that's a great lesson from the life of Mary. She was highly favored not because of anything that she did, but because of what God did. And we need to understand that. She was blessed. And I love this, and if we looked at this from a human perspective, we may think this isn't how we would do things. But God in His mercy, He didn't come to a queen. He didn't come to some wealthy ruler or some wealthy individual. He did not come to some well-known religious leader. Here He comes to an humble young woman in Nazareth. Aren't you thankful that the grace of God can reach down to the lowest of low and redeem folks and call folks and pour out blessings upon those who are the least deserving? I remember in the Gospels, Nathanael, he asked the question, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? This was the least of the least of the areas there in and around Jerusalem. And by the grace of God, we have here that the Virgin Mary was blessed to carry the Savior in her womb. We think about the grace of God. Oftentimes that's how the grace of God works, isn't it? Abraham, the one that was from the land of Ur, God calls him out. Moses, the fugitive shepherd, was the one that God used to lead Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land. David, the least of his father's house, and so on and so forth. I think about Gideon hiding in fear when the Midianites were threatening Israel. Simple fishermen that Jesus called to be his closest followers, to be those that would be nearest unto Him. I'm thankful that the grace of God is not selective like we are. some of you may, I remember in school when they would start picking teams in PE to play, that's really the most embarrassing thing in the world if you're not the first to be picked. I'm thankful that God doesn't work that way. He chooses us according to His sovereign will. And He blesses us not based off of our abilities, but of His grace. What a wonderful blessing. I was thinking about this yesterday. The Apostle Paul would say this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verses 27 through 29. He says this, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound," he says, "the things which are mighty, and the base things," he says, "of this world, and the things which are despised, yea, God hath God chosen, yea, those things which are not," he says, "to bring to naught the things that are." Why is that? That no flesh should glory in His presence. Mary was a recipient of the grace of God. And Mary herself confessed that she was in need of a Savior. Because what would she say? You go down to verses 46 and 47 of Luke chapter 1. It says this, Mary, and what's often referred to as the Magnificat, she says this, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." And notice what she says, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior." What she is saying there is that I am a sinner. I have come short of God's standard, but the one that I carry is my Savior. By the grace of God, she could say that. You know, who needs a Savior? Sinners need a Savior. That just right there proves that she was not without sin. She was faithful, she was godly, but she was not without sin. And she was blessed among women because God in his sovereignty chose her to bear the Messiah. You know, the blessing came from God's grace, not her own merit. And we need to understand that in our own lives. Whatever we have that's good, whatever we have in our lives of profit, it's all by the grace of God, not our merit. We need to remember that. And, you know, what is true for Mary here? Is that not true for every one of us as God's people? You know, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, he reminds us, he says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Well, if you stop right there, you say, well, what faith are we talking about? Well, he goes on and says, "And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You know, it wasn't of the works of Mary that she was carrying the Savior of God's people. It wasn't of her goodness or her innate ability that she was carrying the Messiah. It was all of God. I can't say it enough. What we have today, everything that we have that's good, it's by the grace of God. Eternal salvation, is that of our doing or of God? I'm thankful it's not of my doing. I would be in trouble. It's by God's grace because God chose us before the world was. Our redemption in Christ Jesus, it wasn't because we deserved it. It was by grace. I want to tell you right now what sustains us, what sustains me at this very moment is not my capacities and my abilities, but it's the grace of God. We have eternal grace, but I want to tell you, we had getting up grace this morning, didn't we? We got up. I talked to some of y'all, and y'all got up slowly this morning, but you got up, didn't you? That's the grace of God. And what is going to carry us home? Or are we all of a sudden going to get our act together and just pull it out the last minute? You know, we're at the end of the semester for college and for school, and, I'm finishing up my own college experience right now, and I told my advisor, my professor, just the other day, I said, I think I work better under pressure because I'm pushing the last minute to try to get stuff done. It doesn't work that way as far as us getting to heaven. Now, we need to be living godly lives, and as God's people, live as citizens of a kingdom beyond this world, but as the song says, it's grace that's going to lead us home. Grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to think about? That's different than the world that we live in. The world that we live in, so much is based off of status and individual merit and appearances and how much influence someone has and how much money or how much popularity somebody has. But I'm thankful for us eternally speaking and making it through this world. It's all of God's grace. And that is good news. I see that in Mary as she magnified the Lord. As you read on in the Gospel of Luke, she says, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." What are you rejoicing in this morning? Are you rejoicing in the things of this world? I know you're not rejoicing on what you saw on the news or what you were scrolling on this morning related to the affairs of our country or the situations that are going on in our world and whatever other calamity is awaiting us when we leave this place. Our rejoicing comes in the grace of God. That's a wonderful blessing. She was a recipient of God's grace. Now, what we're going to see as well, Mary was also one because of the grace of God. She submitted herself to the will of God. Now, we've been blessed recipients of God's grace. What we're called to do as God's people is to obey Him, to submit unto the will of God. So we go back to Luke chapter 1. We read down, and we'll continue to read on. It says this, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Mary was a virgin. You say, Brother Michael, you literally believe that? You don't think that's some sort of allegory or some sort of fable? No, I believe in the virgin birth. Well, how do you explain that? I can't explain it, but by faith, I believe that because God's word has said that. And we need to understand that about God's word. We accept this as truth by faith. We reason from Scripture. But, you know, and she had a good question there. How can these things be? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And it says, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And he goes on and talks about Elizabeth conceiving a son in her old age. That would be John the Baptist, and Elizabeth was barren. And the angel says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. That's a lot to process, isn't it? You know, just having kids in the natural means, when you get that news, that's a lot to process just in the natural sense of things. That first one comes along, it turns life upside down. You've got kids now that are figuring that out in a good way, but just imagine, you know, the virgin birth, all the questions that she must have had. But the answer she gets here is from this angel, and I love what he says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And then notice what it said, and Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. You know, as I was thinking about this week, this may be one of the greatest statements of submission found anywhere in Scripture. You just put yourself in her shoes for just a few minutes. This was a young girl. This was one that was, again, from the lowest of statuses in life, from the lowest of places to come from, and now this new news comes along. Can you imagine just all of the emotions that came with that? She didn't fully understand. I don't believe she fully understood what God was doing, but she surrendered herself to His will anyway. What an example for all of us today. Her answer was simply this, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. A handmaid is a servant. She says, be it unto me according to thy word. What a great example of faith. You know, true faith is not merely believing God when everything makes sense. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of stuff going on in my life that just doesn't make sense. There's some things that I can make sense of, and I'm a problem solver kind of person just by nature. I want to fix things. I want everything to be made right. I want everybody to get along. But reality is that that's just impossible to get to that point here in this world. But faith says, I'm going to trust God when things don't make sense. And that's what she is doing here. She is trusting God even though the future is unclear. Her entire life was turned upside down. Think about just this from this announcement in her life personally. She was espoused to Joseph. We read about that. And now she's with child. There were going to be a lot of questions about that. You know, people being people, there were probably people back then like there are today that, you know, saw what was going on, and some of them possibly publicly ridiculed her. Probably a lot of them were whispering about her, and her reputation was at stake. Yet we still see Mary obeys God. And let me say this about obedience. Obedience does come with a cost. Obedience here in this life does come with a cost. We often admire obedience when we look at it from God's word, but there's always challenges and difficulties that come with that. There is. I think about Noah. Noah starts to build a boat and talks about the judgment of God coming and a flood coming, and it had never rained before. Can you imagine the ridicule that he endured? Abraham leaving the land where he had spent most of his life and going forward not knowing where he was going. Going forward as God led him. Moses forsaking the palaces of Egypt to obey God. The apostles who followed Jesus, left everything and followed him. I want you to understand, obedience comes with a price. But Mary obeyed the Lord, even though her reputation and the future was uncertain. I want to say this, obedience and submission is hardly ever comfortable to the flesh. And we see that in her example. But what are we to do? Again, as we're going into this time of year when people are moving into different chapters of life, as they maybe graduate high school or graduate college and go on into adulthood, the answer, the wise man Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 3, and think about this, in uncertain and difficult times, this applies, he says in verse 3, to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord, he says, with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And he says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Mary submitted herself to God's will. Well, how do I know what God's will is? For us, God's will is provided here in his word. He has given us his will. How he wants us to live our lives. How he wants us to deal with the inevitable difficulties of life. Mary, again, arguably just the strongest and greatest statement of submission. She says, behold the handmaid of the Lord. She's saying here, I am your servant, Lord. And then she says, be it unto me according to thy word. Well, she's saying there, whatever your will is, Lord, I want to submit myself to that. One example. And as we go on, not only did she submit herself to the Lord, but she magnified the Lord. Luke chapter 1, around verse 46, we have what we've already referred to, but we'll read down a little further. And Mary said this, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Mary was one that magnified the Lord. And what we have going on here is just her heart is overflowing with praise and with worship and with devotion to God who had blessed her. What she's doing here, she's not magnifying herself. She's magnifying the Lord. Her focus was entirely on God. And I want to tell you, that's one great indicator of spirituality. What are you exalting? You know, false religion exalts man and man's abilities and man's capacities. But we see here the true religion, true service, true faithfulness in the Lord always shines the spotlight on God. Mary doesn't say here, look at me or admire me or celebrate the great person that I am. It's all on the Lord. She says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. What should a thankful soul do? It should magnify the Lord. You know, a magnifying glass, what does it do? It doesn't create anything. A magnifying glass doesn't create greatness. You know, if you go into a science lab or you go home and you pull out your magnifying glass or, you know, if you're like me and late in the day, you put on your readers that magnify. Those glasses that I put on, they don't create anything, do they? They just enlarge what's already there. Now, her soul is enlarging the greatness of God. It was making visible, pronouncing blessings and pronouncing goodness on what was already there. Mary's desire was because of her blessings for people to see the greatness of God. What are we doing with the blessings that God has given us this morning? I know a lot of times in the flesh, we want to magnify ourselves. But she was magnifying God. The psalmist in Psalm 34 would say this in verse 3. He says this in calling to God's people. He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Mary magnified the Lord. Now I want to say this morning, all of us have been blessed. We've been blessed in different ways. We've been blessed with different talents, different abilities, differing levels of blessings. But all of us can magnify the Lord because of the blessings that he's given us. That's one of the things we're called to do here in this place. We sing these praises unto the Lord. We sing here as part of worship to magnify the Lord. We live out the truths of God's word in our lives when it's difficult to bring attention unto the Lord. She magnified the Lord. And I love this one as well as we go on very quickly. As we go to Luke chapter 2, there were things that Mary treasured in her heart. She magnified the Lord. And then there's a couple of places, and I love this, and I've not spoken on this before, but what great richness there is in this. There were times that Mary treasured the things of God in her heart. Notice Luke chapter 2, verse 16. As we go on now, the Savior has been born. Verse 16, it says, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And they all heard it and wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." We have all of those that were gathered there and coming to see the promised Messiah that was to be born. And the Bible says this about Mary. She kept all of these things, and it says she pondered them in her heart. Mary was one, and this is a characteristic that we see more than once in her life. She was one that was thoughtful and spiritually reflective about what was going on around her. You know, I think a lot of us in the fast-paced world that we live in today, we miss out on a lot of the blessings of God in our lives. You know, we think about the big things. Perhaps we go through some great trial or go through some great difficulty. But how many blessings do we just overlook in a day? Again, waking up this morning. Did you think this morning when you woke up, what a great blessing I was able to roll out of bed this morning? Or, you know, the food that you had, did you think of that as a blessing? The ability to have an automobile or be able to hitch a ride with someone to come here. We're blessed in just every area of our lives. And as these things were going on, the wise men that were coming and bringing these gifts unto Jesus and those shepherds that were there and everybody that was gathered around and they were wondering at all the things that were going on, wondering at the things that the shepherds had told them about. But it says Mary pondered these things in her heart. She was not merely an observer of the works of God outwardly, but she carried them deeply within her heart. You know, we sing that hymn, "Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One." I don't do that enough. You know, I can count my complaints and gripes. There's a lot of them. If you want to hear complaining, I could give you a list as long as I am. But that's not profitable, is it? You know, you can get a big following with negativity in the world that we live in today. But Mary pondered these wonderful blessings, these wonderful things concerning the Messiah in her heart. You know, you think about the scene. It was in Bethlehem where this was going on. They were there. They were weary travelers. You have these shepherds and all of these things that were going on in the middle of all of that noise and all of that. Bible tells us that she pondered these things. The word ponder means to deeply consider. It means to meditate. It means to reflect upon things. And she was not letting these moments pass. You know, my kids now are getting grown, and I have a lot of regrets. I've missed out on a lot of things, and I think that we all as parents have those things. Man, I wish I would have just slowed down and enjoyed, you know, this season of life. Those of you with little ones, those of you that are going to be having babies born, slow down and enjoy it because they grow up fast. And the things of God, don't rush past the day-to-day blessings of God. Remember them and be thankful for them. You know, later on we see in the same chapter, now we have Jesus as a young man speaking in the temple. He's 12 years old, and he falls behind. Why did he fall behind? Because he's there speaking with the rabbis in the temple, and he gets behind and then gets caught back up, and Mary sees these things that are going on, and then I believe it's verse 51 where the Bible says one more time, Mary kept all these sayings in her heart. She pondered these things. You know, this tells us something that's important. It's here twice. Mary was someone that was spiritually attentive and focusing on the things of God. How many times do we witness the blessings and the works of God, but we never slow down to even consider them, much less thank God for those blessings? May we slow down and treasure the things of God. You know, us in Psalm 1, the Psalms begins by reminding us that. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Then it says, "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Mary was meditating upon those things. The goodness of God, the providence of God, the promises of God, the works of God, and we should do it as well. And then just finally, very quickly, Mary was one that experienced great sorrow, yet she still trusted in the Lord. Again, you go to Luke chapter 2 and just back up a little bit. Here we have the occasion where Jesus is brought to the temple, and we have Simeon, the one that had waited for the coming Messiah. He enjoyed a great blessing as well. He makes a statement in verse 34. He says, "He blessed them, and he said unto Mary his mother, Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also." And he says, "that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." He was prophesying here of the great difficulties that Mary was going to go through. Now we understand that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ suffered as no man had ever suffered before. But have you stopped to think about what his mother endured through all of that? She suffered greatly. She was one that was faithful. She was one that was obedient. But she experienced tremendous sorrow, did she not? And I want to say this as we look at her example. You know, because you've been blessed by God, because you're one of God's children, it doesn't exempt you from trials and troubles and difficulties and sufferings in this life. You know, don't buy into that deception. Some people will say, you know, the health, wealth, and prosperity group out there will say, if you're as faithful as you ought to be, everything will just be smooth sailing in life. That is not the case. It wasn't the case for Mary. Here, Simeon prophesies that a sword is going to pierce through her own soul. She's going to see the one that she carried, the one that she was the mother of in this world, suffer as no one had ever suffered before. Suffer unjustly. She's going to experience tremendous sorrow, but she trusted in God. I think of Psalm 34 where the psalmist says this, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." But she believed this here, "The Lord delivereth him out of them all." She was going to go through many afflictions, but she remained faithful. Again, imagine that. None of us like to see our kids suffer, and mothers especially. You know, mothers, I believe, are gifted by God to have a tenderness and an empathy that sometimes we fathers don't have. And she was, just imagine what she was going through as Jesus Christ was suffering. But my friends, she suffered and we suffer as well, yet Mary remained faithful. When we first talked about Mary here in these scriptures, we have the angel Gabriel speaking to her. Now, if you go to Acts chapter 1, we have really the final chapter in God's word on Mary. She had endured all of this. And where do we find her? We find her in Acts chapter 1 with the very beginning of the church. Jesus Christ had been unjustly charged here in this world. He had been persecuted. He had been beaten like no man had ever been beaten before. He had been those that were there as he entered into Jerusalem, waving their palms unto him, were the ones that were crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." He was nailed on the cross. He suffered for our sins. She witnessed all of this. My friend, she was there though when he rose from the dead. And where do we see her in the midst of all of this? She's still among the people of God. Notice Acts chapter 1. And I missed this for so long, and it's just recently where this has stood out to me. But in Acts chapter 1, notice what it says in verses 13 and 14. Here are those disciples in verse 13. He says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. And notice it tells us this, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. Now you imagine all of the sufferings that she went through. And here she is still praying, still believing, and still faithful. Lord, help us in the time that we live in today where we have so much emphasis on our convenience and our comfort and a world that says that you should never have any sufferings or difficulties and you should seek just everything being comfortable and everything your way. May we be like Mary in the midst of suffering and remain faithful unto God in the midst of all of the difficulties of life. She was there, but this is simply stated, but it's so deep. She's the one that experienced the virgin birth. She was there at Bethlehem in her life. They had to flee into Egypt because of Herod. She was there for the crucifixion. She was there for the resurrection. She was there here, we see in Acts chapter 1, for his ascension. And through all of that, she's still trusting in God. My friends, I pray that we would trust God in the midst of difficult times. The world today says just avoid any difficulty whatsoever. But the Bible tells us that while we're in this world, we shall have tribulations. But let's follow the teachings of the Apostle Paul. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, he says this, and we'll stop here. He says this, let us be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That is a trust in the Lord. We'll stop there. There's so much more that can be said, but what a wonderful example we